Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Because I asked you to, and I pray that the words that leave my mouth today would take root deeply in our hearts, and that we would be people that not only walk the walk, but talk the talk and walk the walk, that we are walkie-talkies and not just talkie-talkies. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah? How many of you are trying to walk the walk? How many of you were here last week? Raise your hand up. Okay, so I got a few to review for. How many of you got challenged this week? Raise your hand up in the area that, oh, look at that. Most all of you, yeah? Oh, I hear the, there was probably some real big ones that came this week. So you can talk to me later. We won't rehearse all that. How many of you got victory? You did it. Look at that. Woo! Give yourselves a hand. Give yourselves a hand. So what I'm talking about is staying out of the trap of offense. Yeah? Oh, boy. You know, I do feel joy in here. It's not as hostile as it felt last week. But so I know you've experienced some breakthrough. But I want to just briefly review, and I mean that I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on what I was talking about. I just know that as Easter approaches, you need to guard your heart more than ever. There's two times a year when the enemy really ratchets up this particular thing, which is offense, unforgiveness, attacks against your person. He will hit you hard because it's a blood war. How many of you, I just keep asking, how many of you can go back in your journals or just in your memory and say, oh, yeah, September and March, raise your hand. Yeah, so, okay. So the reason I do this is because one of my jobs is to alert you and to instruct you and to encourage you to not expect the worst, but to just know that the enemy has no new tricks. And this time of year, when all of the emphasis and focus should be by the church on the Lord and on what he did for us at the cross and that precious blood that was spilled to give us victory, eternal life, healing, forgiveness, all these things, all that focus is on Jesus and the blood. Day of Atonement, it's all about the blood, right? The enemy is like, oh. You know why? Because he knows that by the word of our testimony and the blood of Jesus, that we overcome him. When we start talking about the forgiveness in the blood, we start talking about the power in the blood, and we start talking about our Savior, who isn't dead, he's alive. And he's forever making intercession, prayer for us. Yeah? And the devil knows, like, if I can get them offended, they'll stop praying. If I can get them offended, even if they are praying, I can make their prayers not work. Yeah? And I'll just do everything I can to start wreaking havoc in their life, in their family. Here's the deal. And even if it's not a current offense, I'll bring back everything that they have not forgotten. Y'all are nodding like bobbleheads at the flea market right now. And you're like, I thought that was a done deal. And all of a sudden, you're like ruminating, which is toxic, by the way. Huh? This is a window of time where the enemy tries to come against your mind like never before. He doesn't want you to celebrate the resurrection and to know, you know, all of the blessings of the Lord. He doesn't want your focus on Jesus. Mike Murdoch, who I'll quote again in this sermon, said, the only reason men fail is broken focus. That's why Paul said, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher and the perfecter of your faith. And the enemy wants your eyes not on him, Jesus. He wants your eyes on them. So, God is saying right now, the church that he is coming for, the bride that he is coming for, is not ignorant of the devil's schemes. We have been there and done that. We have, Brittany sent me this video of Stephen Furtick, and I loved it. We have been there holding the devil's trash. Looking at the trash, weighted down by the trash, believing the lies of the devil and all the garbage that he has brought into our life. We have been there holding all that too many times in the past. And we can't embrace the truth and receive what God has for us when we're holding on to all that. And we got to let it go. I love it. He said, we believe the lies many times more than we do the truth. And the enemy wants to lie to you and make you believe all the accusations that he's leveled against you through people. And he wants you to get offended with them. And he wants you to stay in a place where you're locked up as a captive through unforgiveness and bitterness and offense. Ineffective in your life as a believer. Amen? That's what he wants. But I'm here to tell you that if you will do what I'm telling you to do, you will not be held captive by the enemy. We together can be a force, should be a force in the earth. And this one thing is what will hold us back from experiencing all that God has for us. So I told you that God is developing a mature church that will operate with an unoffendable heart. We talked about bitterness and what it does in your life and what the fruit of bitterness looks like. And today, I want to give more emphasis to the trap. I talked about the trap of the enemy. And this is point two, if you're following me along in the notes up there in the tower. Anyone that has trapped animals knows a trap needs one of two things to be successful. It must be hidden so the animal will stumble upon it unknowingly. And number two, it must be baited to lure the animal into the trap's deadly jaws. Satan uses both of these techniques against our soul. They are both hidden and baited. And the offense, which is the bait, it isn't deadly as long as it stays in the trap. In fact, offense is going to be out there all the time. It's always around. But if we reach for it, if we pick it up, and we start chewing on it, it's going to infiltrate our heart. That trap is going to close on us. And then the offense that was in there gets in us, and we become offended. And what I have seen is that offended people do not produce the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the devil. And in Galatians, it talks about these two opposing trees and the fruit that's on them. One is the flesh. See, you can't win this battle in your flesh. You've got to win it in the Spirit. It's only by the Spirit, as we were reading in Acts 7, that Stephen could say, don't hold this assault, because they're grinding their teeth, they're gnashing their teeth, they're cursing him, and then they start stoning him. Because he's telling them the truth. He says, don't hold this against them. Don't charge them with it. Here's Stephen who had received the mercy of God. It said Stephen full of the Spirit. It didn't say Stephen just said, don't hold this against them. It said Stephen full of the Spirit was able to actually pray for their mercy in the moment when he's receiving their death sentence. And they're pummeling his body. He's experiencing physical pain, emotional pain, and all of that. But see, we can't do this except for by the Spirit. But there's fruit that starts to come out in our life when we have taken the bait of Satan. And what happens? It's hurt. We all get hurt. And what happens is hurt people as long as you stay hurt. You can say that hurt, but I'm not going to say I'm a hurt person. And just keep nursing the hurt. There are things that are said to us that hurt. There are things that are done to us that hurt. But hurt has to be taken somewhere. And God heals us. The Bible says he's near to the brokenhearted and he heals those that are hurt. He heals our hurt. But if you don't take the hurt to the Lord, instead of turning that hurt and starting to hurt people back, the other things will start showing up in your life. Anger. We all experience anger. But the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let the sun go down. That means that before the end of the day today, you've got to do something with that anger. You've got to give that anger over to the Lord. The Bible says be angry. Go ahead and be angry. In other words, you get a moment to feel mad, okay? But don't sin. You can be angry and not sin. So anger, the emotion of anger, isn't a sin. It's what you do with it. If you take that anger and you start spewing and cursing and speaking all manner of evil against people, then you have gotten yourself into sin. Amen? If anger isn't dealt with, it becomes outrage. And we need to go to God and reset. There's times when you have to go, that hurt. I feel like there's an injustice here. I've been wrongly judged. You may have been accused, abandoned, rejected, treated, all kinds of bad. But if you don't take that to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not going to make this about me. If there's something I need to take responsibility I will. But I'm not going to sit here and make this about me for 4 days, 10 days, 10 years, whatever. Huh? I'll do what I need to do, but this is more about them and the ugly in them than it is in me. If I was ugly, fine, but I'm going to lay it down. And I'm going to, by your Spirit, I'm going to find it within myself to be kind, because that's the fruit that you bear in my life. If you don't deal with it, it turns into outrage. It turns into harshness. The fruit of this offense is also jealousy. It's resentment. Yeah? A person who is trapped in this, they really have a poverty mindset. They resent your success. They resent your freedom. They resent your joy. They resent your hope. They resent your love. You know why? Because they feel like there's not enough of it to go around. Mm-hmm. Somehow there's a scarcity mentality. You can't have all that. Joy and hope and love and everything else. You can't have all that. I resent that in you. Because I don't have enough of it in my own life. And so They get resentful toward you. And guess what? Resentment hurts. It hurts when it comes at us, but we don't have to let it in. We don't have to take it in. Someone else's resentment is the enemy's attempt to get poison inside of you so that you will get the cancer and the rancor of bitterness in you. It hurts when somebody resents you. And you've been kind to them. And you don't know where that resentment is coming from. Well, that resentment, if you start pointing that out to them because you're hurt, guess what that turns into? Pride and strife. When a person is in pride, they are blind. I need you to hear that. I will say it again. When a person is in strife or pride, they are blind. And if you're walking in humility and you see it, you pointing out something to someone who is blind does nothing but further frustrate you. This is where you need to pray. Open the eyes of their heart, Lord. And we need to pray that regularly for us. Lord, open the eyes of my heart that I might see you. When we ask the Lord to open the eyes of someone's heart, they will begin to see themselves. And it's much better if the Holy Spirit shows them than if you try to show a blind person what they cannot see. Because they won't believe you, and they're going to continue to spew on you. Once they pick up that offense, that bait, they will attack, they will insult, they will wound, they will divide, they will break up relationships, they will betray, and they will backslide. That's a lot. If you guys want the notes, you can get them. This is what we're seeing. We're seeing this on a larger and more mass scale now than we ever have. And the truth is, church, many of us are walking wounded. We're walking forward with God, trying to manage the hurt that we're experiencing on a regular basis. And I want to encourage you in the Lord. God cares, and he sees the hurt that you have been experiencing, and he is working to bring healing to your heart. But as long as you stay connected to them through a trauma bond, listen to me, you will continue to be hurt. A trauma bond creates a soul tie to your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and it continues to eat you up on the inside. One of the things we do in inner healing is we break ungodly soul ties, because it's not a godly tie when you don't have love, peace, goodness, patience, and all the fruit of the Spirit, when you don't have that in the relationship. And this is not about being perfect. We do need to, you know, give consideration for each other's flaws. But if your connection to someone, the bond that you have with them, is through trauma, you need to break that soul tie with them through forgiveness, verbally choosing to forgive them. And how we say it in inner healing is, I choose to forgive blank, and I send out of my soul, because you're the guardian of your soul. The Lord has given you free will, and he's given you self-control. And you need to manage your soul. A person in offense is out of control in their soul. We need to take control of our soul. Yeah? And say, I send out of my soul all the pieces of them in that trauma bond that I have retained. And how do we send it out? Through the blood of Jesus. So we're not sending anything back to them that's going to hurt them. Right? We just send it all back. Through the blood of Jesus, washed up by the blood of Jesus, and we release them from our soul. And this is a very difficult thing to do. And in fact, point three, Jesus said in Luke 17 that the temptation to take the bait of offense or betrayal would, not might, come. It would come. And then he follows up his statement with an admonition on forgiveness, which is the way to stay out of Satan's trap. The disciples immediately said something, which is interesting. Increase our faith. You know, it's interesting that they never asked him to increase their faith for miracles. You go back and read it. They never asked him to increase their faith to cast out devils. They never asked Jesus to increase their faith for the works, the daily works that he called them to do. But when it came to this subject of forgiveness, they asked for an increase of faith. We need faith to forgive those through whom the offense comes. Wow. Yeah? It says this in Luke 17, and let me go back to point 3b. One of the ways God sifts our faith, he sifts it and purifies it like gold, is to put us through the fire of forgiving those who've betrayed and hurt us the most. The worst hurt comes through your closest relationships. That's why in Luke 17, Jesus is talking about your brother's sins. Sisters, that means your sisters. Those in the family of God. Yeah? That means those that are family or blood. Let's look at this scripture from Jesus. Luke 17, verse 17. And Jesus said to his disciples, temptations, and if you look at that word in the concordance, it means snares, traps, set to entice to sin, are sure to come. But woe to him by or through whom they come. So we really need to check ourselves before we go and betray someone, before we go and we purposely hurt someone. The Passion Translation says, betrayals are inevitable, but great devastation will come to the one guilty of betraying others. Verse 2, it would be more profitable for him if a millstone were hung around his neck or her neck and they be hurled into the sea than that they should cause to sin or be a snare, there it is, be a trap to one of these little ones, those lowly in rank or influence. Pray. Here is our instruction. Pray and pay attention and always be on your guard, looking out for one another. You know, in the Jewish Bible, the word pay attention, it means to watch, to be a watchman. You know, the watchmen were prayer warriors. Yeah? So this is a call to the watchmen, those the intercessors, right? There's a lot to that word pay attention. It's watch. Come on, watchmen. We're to be watchmen. On the wall, watching for the enemy that's coming at our gates, right? Be watchful in prayer. Pay attention. And always be on your guard, looking out for one another. So I need to be looking out for you, and you need to be looking out for me. And if we get together for lunch, or we get together for coffee, or we're just sitting around, and we're rehearsing everything that has hurt us about someone else, and we never stop to pray for them, and we never stop to redirect the conversation to where it belongs, it won't be long before we have a double demonic cord. Come on. What he's saying is we have to hold each other accountable and even in love say, you know, I know that really hurt you, but I cannot go down this road with you. You can tell me how that made you feel, but we have to, I'm going to encourage you to forgive that person because that's going to hurt you, right? And not only that, that's going to hold them captive through a trauma bond to you. And the only hope they have of ever getting free and really, you know, hearing from God and for God to open the eyes of their heart is for you to be able to pray effectively for them. And you can't do that with offense in your heart. So Paul is giving the instruction here that we need to look out for one another. If your brother sins, misses the mark, solemnly tell him so and reprove him. And if he repents, feel sorry for having sinned, forgive him. And even if he sins against you 7 times in a day. Oh, Lord. Don't you guys wish it was a one and done? Because that number 7 means complete. That means you might have to live with somebody who's completely wrong. I mean, they complete a whole day. Yeah. And he says, I repent, I'm sorry, you must forgive him. Watch this. This is in the notes. You must give you. This is not about them. You must give up resentment and consider the offense as recalled and annulled. It's over. It's done. We're working on it, right? We're all a work in process. See, when something's recalled and it's annulled, it's over. It's done. And then this is Jesus talking to them. This is Jesus talking to all of us. And instead of them going, okay, Lord, we hear you. That's hard. We'll try. Do you know the words "we'll try" is the language of the powerless? It is. There's no trying. When we take our wedding vows, we don't go, I'll try to love you, to better or for worse. I'll try to be faithful to you, forgetting all others, forsaking all others, and love you. I'll try. No, no. When we stand up there, we make vows. And as powerful people, we say, I choose, I will. We say powerful vows. There's no I will try. That's not how it works. Because that's not how God works. He doesn't say, oh, I'll try to forgive you. God make covenant with us. And he says, I love you. I choose you. Even when you are against me, I still choose you. And I forgive you. And I don't take it back. And he's basically telling them the hard stuff. And look at their response. The apostles said to the Lord, these are apostles. These are church leaders. These are the people that founded the early church. And it's on this subject alone that they say, increase our faith. That trust and confidence that spring from our belief in God. We have to remember that all of us go through times where we are hurt. We are hurt by the people we lead. We are hurt by the people that we love. But we must obey God. And he will give us the faith. We have to say, I believe you, God, you in me can do this. Me alone, I can't do this. But through Christ, I can do all things. I can. You give me the ability. And that's basically what they're saying is, increase our faith. Our faith in you to do that. The God in you can do that. Because he's already done it for you. And he can do it through you. Someone who is being influenced greatly by the enemy, who's more surrendered to the devil than they are to God, will not obey God in this area. I'm just telling you that right now. The Bible says demons tremble. But they don't obey God. And one of the things I've learned in my tenure as a pastor is that there are a lot of people that are so-called manifesting. I've seen them tremble, and it looks like they're trembling under the power of God. And maybe they are. I hope so. But just because you tremble don't mean you're going to obey. Every shaking, baking, hallelujah, hollering, so-called Christian isn't always obeying God. And what happens when you're not obeying God is that guilt gets a hold of your life. And Mike Murdoch said this, he's brilliant in some of his wisdom nuggets. He said, guilt is the thief of faith. We're talking about faith here. Increase our faith. He says, guilt is the thief of faith. And when you permit sin in your life, you become uncomfortable in the presence of God. It is difficult to expect a miracle from God if you resent him. As you confess your failure, he forgives. Confession is reaching. God has always reacted to reachers. Silence toward your own sin is arrogance. Seek the natural mercy that comes toward you. It came the moment you went to God for confession. The heaviest burden to carry in life is unconfessed sin. That is why the Holy Spirit is the most enjoyable companion you will ever experience in your relationships. But we can't get away from this scripture in Psalm 66, and this is not in the notes. It says, if I, not they, if I regard, continue to regard the sin of offense, iniquity. You know what iniquity is? Iniquity is something that God has dealt with you over and over and over and over and over again. Sin is bad, but iniquity is bonded and agreed upon and layered, and it grows. And if you regard that and hold that in higher esteem than the mercy of God in your heart through rebellion, it says the Lord will not hear us. Whoa. He won't hear us. So, the good teaching. There is a difference between boundaries and walls. And I do believe that boundaries are healthy. Boundaries should be set when a person is out of control and they will not get control of their own soul and they continue to hurt you with no regard. But we can't get offended. We can set boundaries. Boundaries protect us from being attacked or assailed or whatever. We don't have to keep putting ourselves around someone who's not safe. But when you begin to build walls, what happens is you try to protect yourself without God's help. And instead of being rooted and grounded in God's love and remaining open to loving others and being loved by others, you eventually shut down behind your self-protective walls, and the offense inside of you begins to grow. Roots of bitterness, they grow deeper and deeper and deeper, and eventually you become hard, your words become harsh, your love grows cold. And God is, he's exhorting the church, and in love, he's encouraging us, because he said in Matthew 24, this is point four, at the end of the age, many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust, watch this, and desert him. Wow. They desert him whom they ought to trust and obey. And they will stumble and fall away, and watch this, they'll betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive and lead many into error. And the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of, watch this, because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. Church, we can live in the presence of God to such a degree that we can maintain joy, love, and hope in the midst of all of this increase. But if we read the word and we believe the word, it's not going to get better out there. It's got to get better in here. Yeah? It just does. That word love in the scripture, it says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. But the word love in here is agape. It says he who agapes. You can't agape, because there's three kinds of love. There's, well, there's actually four, but the main ones are phileo, which is friendship love, human love. Then there's eros, which is attraction love. And then there's God's love, which is agape love. Agape love chooses to love. It's unconditional. It doesn't stop. He says this kind of enduring love will grow cold. You can't agape love unless you have God, which means he's not talking to everybody out there. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the believer. Human love says, I'll love you if you love me. However, if you don't love me, or if I don't like you, I don't like your behavior, and you don't live up to my expectations, then I'm going to stop loving you. That's what human love does. Agape love says, even when you don't live up to my expectations, even when I don't like your behavior, even when I hear stuff coming out of your mouth that really isn't nice and isn't right, I'm still going to love you even though I don't like the behavior. I can separate the two. I know what I don't like, but I know what I love. And that's you. Amen? If we don't deal with the condition of our heart, what happens in Proverbs, he said this, and I'm going to end pretty soon. It says, it's easier to conquer a city than to win back a friend whom you've offended. Wow. Their walls go up, and this has got hope in it, making it nearly impossible to win them back. I like that, nearly impossible. Because with God, nothing is impossible. There's always possibility, but you cannot win against the spirit of Leviathan, of pride, of strife, of twisting your words and trying to tear you up and spin you in four different directions. You cannot win against that spirit by operating in the same spirit. Love disarms the devil because it's already happened. Love is the one that hung on that tree over 2,000 years ago and disarmed every principality and every power of darkness. And it is not optional for us to not keep our love on. I would encourage you to go read the Danny Silk book called Keep Your Love On. Yeah? We have the choice to keep our love on. But there are people that are imprisoned right now behind the walls that they have built. And we have to believe by faith that God can help us not only to forgive them, but to continue to lovingly pray effectively for them. Proverbs 18:19 in the Amplified says, a brother offended, that's a sister too, is harder to be won over than a strong city, and their contentions separate them like the bars of a castle. Point six, when you are committed to walking in agape love, you will not engage in contentions. Arguments cease. And you take every thought captive. You don't allow walls, strongholds, bars of steel to be erected around your heart and your mind. And I love this, and I'm going to end on this. Janet had texted me and said, I love this statement. You become a warrior for your own soul and destiny, because you know you can't fulfill the destiny that God has for you if you are living in a self-imposed prison of offense. That's powerful. And I want to ask you today, are you free? Are you truly free? If you're not and you feel stuck, there's no condemnation. The Lord is not saying, he will never speak condemnation over your life. But what he's doing is he's going in there with his sword, his skillful surgical techniques with his sword to go, that needs to go. That soul tie needs to be severed from your life. Doesn't mean you don't love them. It just means what all that garbage that's been in their soul that has gotten into you, yeah? It needs to get out right now. We need to take care of that. You need to be completely free of that. Yeah? I grew up in church services where everybody had to run to the altar and expose themselves. And I don't mean in a, that's kind of an interesting church, right? But you always felt just more guilt and you felt grimy, you know, just because like, here I am, just this dirty, rotten sinner with all this, you know, rage and resentment and ugh. And I had a dream just about 3 nights ago, and in the dream, I was at a river, and somebody had taken, I went there to like bathe or something. I had taken off all my clothes, and I was there, and I thought I was by myself. And in the dream, I'm crying in the river. And I'm standing there, and I just, the only thing that made me feel better was being in the river. Two times I tried to leave the river, and I got up there and it just crumbled. I started crying and went back in the river. And pretty soon a bunch of people from a church that I used to partner with showed up there. And all I wanted to do was go underwater and just sink. Because I could feel how they were shaming me and they were looking at me all exposed. Seeing my, they couldn't handle my nakedness and they couldn't handle my pain. And they weren't there to help me. They weren't there to offer me comfort. They were only there to stare at me with their eyes of condemnation and their judgment. And the last thing I remember about the dream was I just held my breath and I went under. I just went under. In the dream, I didn't die, but I was holding my breath underwater, hoping that they would leave. And I feel like there's so many people that are in that place. They are afraid to be vulnerable. They are afraid to say how they really feel. They're afraid to really expose all of the stuff that they're carrying. And I want to encourage you, in the dream, the river represents the Holy Spirit. It represents being in His presence. The Lord is calling us right now to be transparent with God, to get into that place of His presence, not run from the river, but to get in there with all our dirt, all our junk, and realize that there's peace in the river. There's freedom in the river. There's healing in the river. And you know what? It doesn't matter who's on the banks, unwilling to join you there, watching you struggle. I would rather struggle with God in the river, naked and exposed, and with God, than out there on the banks, trying to fake it with all these people that don't have it together. Amen? There's only going to be healing in the river. And I want to encourage you, this is not going to be something where I give an altar call and ask you to come here and expose yourself in front of a bunch of people, but I want you this week to go get alone with God, put some worship on and say, God, this still hurts. When it comes up to my mind, it still hurts. This, you know, I forgive them. I know I've said it, and Lord, I can't do this without you, but I want to be laid bare. I want to be laid bare. You're the safest person in my life. You can see all my dirt. You can see all my hurt. I'm not going to keep getting out and trying to go pick it up and get it together. And I, not only that, I forgive all the people that have looked at me with condemnation. All that never helped me a bit. And I'm not going to get out of here until I know that I'm free, completely free. And I want to encourage you to forgive them. Immerse yourself. Sink. Go down into the river. Go deep. God will not let you die. Well, He will kill you, but you will live. Amen. Come on, stand up to your feet. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray over all of you right now. You know, if you've never surrendered your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to. It's a matter of life and death. And He will challenge you for the rest of your life because He loves you to stay free. But the first step of freedom is freedom from the bondage of sin and death. And Jesus came to give you life. It's only through Him and through faith in Him that you become alive. He forgives you of your trespasses and your iniquities and your sins, all of them. And He gives you the power to do that, not only for yourself, but for everyone else, and to live free and powerful, amen? And He wants you to make Him the Lord of your life. He's not gonna force Himself on you and do that, but if you will invite Him in, you will see that you will become a new creation, born again, full of the power of God. And you will have the hope and the assurance of eternal life. Amen? That's what it's all about. And it starts right there. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I pray today you will do that. I'd rather you have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. And so let's pray and help someone today. Help them come into the kingdom of God and help them come in a relationship with Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of the living God, who died on the cross for my sins. I repent of my sins and I receive your mercy by faith. Be my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Come on, church. I know I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, write us at soulharvestwc@yahoo.com and let us know so we can pray for you. If you're in the room and you prayed that prayer, let someone else know. Let a prayer team member know. Tell someone, you know, this is your testimony. And welcome, by the way, to the family of God. We love you. We'll be praying for you.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.